Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 19, 2020. Rusting Weapons. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, April 18, 2020. The coronavirus is the beginning of a change for the better. The clearing of the air and water. The new notions popping up in leaders' minds about worldwide truce and universal basic income indicate that the winds of change are blowing in the world and many are responding. We may not feel it yet, but the time of wars and weapons has passed. It will not be gone at once, but gradually, yet we are already on the threshold of a new era where weapons will rust and disintegrate. To our children, it will be a given that the world is integral, round, and what goes around comes around. They will know that you cannot act, or even think badly of another person without paying a price for it. The world that COVID-19 is preparing us for is one where people have what they need, they are at peace with themselves and with each other, and nature treats them kindly. It is a world of mutual responsibility and care. All we need to do is accelerate its emergence, for the sooner it comes, the sooner the virus will go. Answers to your questions, part 241. Question: why is there so little of the Creator in Biyar, Beria, Yetzirah, and Asiya? Why are there more descents than ascents the further we are? Answer: in the worlds of Biyar there is no creator because the creator is Ol Hochma, which manifests itself in Ol Hasidim, and Ol Hochma does not penetrate under the parser. Answers to your questions, part 240. Question: could imposing a fine on the ego help in correcting people if such a fine were introduced in one or several countries? Answer: the restriction on using the ego is possible only by voluntary awareness of the person, otherwise, it will not be a correction but a modification of the ego. Question: how can I strive to bring contentment to the Creator if I do not imagine Him as existing outside my sensations? Answer: you try, and gradually the picture will become clear in your sensations. My article in Newsmax, Coronavirus and Emergency Economy. At the moment, governments are trying to inject businesses and business people with financial oxygen until the pandemic passes. But it won't pass so quickly. In my estimate, we're looking at 12-18 months before it fades away. But more importantly, when it's over, people will have changed dramatically. They will not want to revert to the old way of life. Graffiti in Hong Kong reads, "We can't return to normal because our normal was the problem in the first place." How very true. Some business will return, but a great many will not because they were redundant to begin with, so resuscitating them is nothing but a waste of taxpayers' money. Instead of wasting, governments should declare an emergency economy and freeze everything until the dust settles. After several months it will be easier to see what to keep and to what we should bid farewell. So the first thing that governments need to do is make sure that everyone has food and shelter. Every family should get the same per capita, and this will alleviate the need for cash. Guaranteeing food and shelter for each person is much less costly than transferring money to people's accounts, and guarantees that they will not waste it on unessential needs. In the meantime, the business and finance sectors should be put on hold, all transactions, lending and paying of loans, everything and everyone should simply take a break. The more obstinate we are recognizing the onset of the new phase in humanity, the more painfully that phase will impose itself on us. If you think of social changes like a train ride, then the train has left the dock on its way to a new station, and it will not stop until we're there. Alleviating the transition. My intention in writing this article is not to intimidate anyone. On the contrary, I want the necessary transition we all have to undergo to be as smooth, quick and pleasant as possible. Humanity has suffered enough, there's no need to add unnecessary agony. To help us alleviate the shift, we should supplement the provision of food and shelter with information about the process unfolding the world over. Many people already feel that nature is rejuvenating quickly since we've been told to stay at home. They realize that we have done too much harm and that we cannot go on this way. Now we should extend this realization to the relationships between us. Our ill will toward each other has cost us far more pain and ill health than the coronavirus. Worse yet, it has made us uncaring for each other no less than we are uncaring for nature. When we rear people in a dog-eat-dog mentality, easy to wonder that this is how they also treat nature. Therefore, the healing must begin with us. Once we learn how dependent we are on each other, we will stop treating one another like enemies. We will realize that by seeing to each other's well-being we will be seeing to our own well-being, and nothing teaches us this lesson better than COVID-19. Our compulsory slowdown is not aimless, it is for us to reflect on our lives and their meaning. Now that consumerism has been stopped by force measure, we have time to ask why we needed it in the first place, what we gained by it, and who gained from it. Certainly not us. We are living in the twilight of one era and the dawn of another. It has not risen yet, but if we teach ourselves about it, work shoulder to shoulder to embrace it, it will rise and shine on a new humanity, ready to welcome the new epoch with open arms that are joined together. Medium published my new article Social Distancing, a call for a deeper level of connection. We are in the midst of a very unique time. Humans are social animals, but in the COVID-19 era, the difference between being healthy or sick could be determined by our physical proximity to others. Thus, social distancing is encouraged by the experts to avoid a ripple effect of the virus. But staying away from each other at the corporeal level could also help us to reshape and improve our relations. How? We can achieve such a goal by nearing our hearts, the ultimate purpose for which the pandemic unfolds. From non-mandatory stay-at-home recommendations to imposed quarantines, an unprecedented lockdown is observed across the globe. With a naked eye it would seem as if life is throwing us in all directions mercilessly, imposing new rules on us, leaving us with very little time to grasp the rapid changes and get used to the new reality. So, humanity awaits its defeat impatiently, expecting to overcome the small invisible yet stronger than any flesh and blood enemy that disrupts normal life. But there is another hidden adversary we have to defeat, which is dangerously moving freely among us. COVID-19 is just a byproduct, a reflection of what happens inside our society. It is not the disease per se. It came to ring a bell and warn us about an even more dangerous pest, the ego that has taken over the world and alienates us. By the ego, we mean the intention for self-benefit at the expense of others' misfortune. Getting separate, growing closer. Humanity is in a battle against the coronavirus, but the most important struggle takes place within humanity itself. We are running after the virus and extract revenge over what it says, shooting the messenger. Let the doctors heal, let the scientists research, let the experts fulfill their role and find a vaccination. Even then, neither a vaccine nor social distancing and total lockdowns will defeat the plague, but our new attitude. We need only accept what the virus is communicating to us. If it is understood, we can all turn and be victorious over ourselves, namely over the hooliganism that we have developed among us, clashes, hatred, friction and intrigue. Any attempt on our behalf to improve our attitudes to each other, to develop relations of mutual consideration and responsibility, will be considered a wonderful triumph. Building an internal bridge between us. In this period, we would be wise to take a look at the big picture and not at the small virus. We are integral parts of nature. Therefore, the nearer we become to each other, as we balance negative forces with positive ones, as we bridge the gaps among us, overcoming distances that separate us, we will defeat the separation with the power of connection. We will then feel that the world is less of a combat arena, and that it has become softer and friendlier. It will not happen in one shot. We will heal slowly. It is like a patient who recovers one day after the next, until becoming strong enough to finally be healthy again. Connection is our remedy, social cohesion is our healer. If instead of selfish struggles and control over others, we get along among each other and develop relations of mutual responsibility and cooperation, we will certainly be able not only to get over the coronavirus outbreak, but we will also break the walls that separate us. We will then realize that the only distance is the one between our hearts. Healing, not plagues. Question: The Passover holiday symbolizes the exodus from Egypt. Egypt is the personification of our egoism, the consumer perception of the world. Can we say that we are standing on the threshold of the 10 plagues of Egypt? Suppose the first of these is coronavirus. Are there any other blows awaiting us? Answer: I would really like for this to be true. Question: Why are you always so happy about the blows? Answer: Because I look at them as a remedy, not as plagues. Question: Can you teach us to look at them like that too? Answer: Start studying Kabbalah and you will see that all blows of fate are aimed only at curing us of egoism. And then we will be able to unite, ascend, begin to see other worlds, the higher ones, while living in this world, and to feel ourselves existing eternally in the vast expanses of the upper world. Man is destined, as they say, for the Garden of Eden. You need to understand what it is to see this world while living in our world. I hope that all of these viruses are the last ones. And although there will be more and more of them, they are more and more clearly aimed at changing a person. Question: Do you think that further blows await us? Answer: It all depends on us. If we do not learn from the first virus, there will be a second, a third, like the 10 plagues of Egypt when leaving Egypt. From CapTV's Coronavirus Changes Reality, March 19, 2020. Where does the coronavirus lead us? Where does the force that affects the entire world, all of us together, lead us? Previously, the upper force has always acted selectively by affecting each nation, each group, each person differently. But now we see that it works with everybody in a uniform manner without letting anyone escape, and it leads us with a firm hand toward a new form of relationship, to a special connection between us. I really hope that the coronavirus will compel us to annul our egoism and that the entire world will be able to rise above it. The world does not realize and understand the need for such changes, the transformation from the egoistic to the altruistic system yet. The upper force, the creator, with the help of the coronavirus, corrects the world. The virus does not have a mind, feelings, or freedom to act. But the upper force, in a single move, starts overturning the entire reality, all of humanity, relating to everyone as to one system, one body. This is a great action. We live in great times. If we fully reveal this process and see where it leads us from our state to the final goal, we will see that it is intended to unite us and turn us into a single system, one humanity, one man with one heart, allowing us to reveal the Creator, the upper world between us. If our relationships with each other are egoistic, it is called life in this world. And when they move to the system built on love, unity, mutual bestowal, then it will be called the spiritual, upper system, the next world. No one will any longer feel separated from the others and the life between birth and death. It is because we will all be connected endlessly and without any limit, we will instantly feel the eternal spiritual life in this connection. This state begins to manifest gradually. We are approaching such a reality. We just need to increase our sensitivity to the state that already exists. It depends only on us how much we want to reveal it by the power of our unity. Even in the egoistic world, there are people who understand it better than others. and now we need to do our best to understand the new state that will come, which is why it is called the next world. Nature treats us as a single human being, including everyone inside itself, and this is how we need to relate to it as well. Finally, we have come to such changes in human society that show us that we belong to the last generation, the generation of Mashiach, Messiah. Messiah is the force that pulls us from our egoism toward unity, from separation from the Creator to the Creator, from separation from the eternal life to the eternal life. This is not a fantasy but a reality that will soon become fully revealed. The program is set in advance and it is in effect, but the speed of its realization depends on us. If our group aspires forward, going ahead of everybody, then we will be able to accelerate the development and will lead the entire humanity to the revelation of the new world. Every single day, humanity is becoming increasingly ready to receive this message. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson April 3, 2020. Writings of Baal-ha-Sulam, Shemati 1. There is none else besides him. Coronavirus, through all the galaxies. Nature is showing us through the coronavirus that if we move away from others with our egoism, then we have no right to be close to them physically. If we want to be connected, we must first establish an internal connection, and relate to each other correctly and kindly. To the extent that one wishes everyone well, he can come close to them. And if he has no desire to love and help another, then he cannot come close to him. Let the person see how his selfishness alienates him. Everything is so simple, the properties of the upper world are already emerging in our world, and we must use this to educate ourselves, to know when to approach or to move away. Imagine how good it would be if we kept the right distance, approaching or moving away from people according to our inner attitude. You and I can be in two different galaxies separated by many light years, and at the same time, we will have a feeling that we are connected and will certainly come closer in the future because the Creator between us is awakening us to this. Then we would search, each from our own galaxy, how to get closer to each other despite the distances, how to express our love and to nullify ourselves. Thus, we would gradually come closer and unite in one part Suf in which the Creator is revealed in all His might, that is, in eternal and perfect love between us. We would merge with our hearts and desires and discover that the Creator is fulfilling us. This is the end of the correction. But first, we need to discover how different we are. And this is exactly what the coronavirus is doing. There will be other ways that will make us feel the distance between each other, and we will finally realize that the virus is connected to our desire, to our internal property, and that I cannot get closer to another individual because this is how it works. I do not want closeness with another person, that is why I cannot physically approach him. It turns out that our world begins to take the form of the spiritual world. Imagine that we are all suspended in a vacuum, and to the extent that we want to become kinder and closer to each other, we get closer. And if we treat each other badly, then we move away. That is, everything is determined not by the physical distances in this world, but by our internal, spiritual properties. This is exactly what is happening in the world, and now we can reflect upon how to change ourselves. This has always been hidden and confusing for us, and now everything is revealed. I want to be closer to others because in this way I can reveal the Creator and the higher world, which manifests itself only in the connection between us. But to get closer, it is not enough to take a few steps without changing yourself from within. First, I need to change myself, change my attitude toward others from hatred to love, and only then can I get closer to them. We draw closer or move away according to our intentions, our attitude. Everything becomes clear and understandable, and all spiritual work is done openly. Therefore, I ask my friends, pull me toward you, let's turn to the Creator together so that He would help us. And so we work, but as if suspended in the air so far. We communicate with each other and with the Creator, ask for help, begin to move toward each other as if floating in zero gravity, until we unite and reveal the property called the Creator between us. This is all already in our hands. We now have the opportunity to work in the corporeal world but with spiritual properties. Imagine what the coronavirus has done. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, April 7, 2020. How can we neutralize the coronavirus? Question. You say that if we begin to take others into our consideration, take their desires into account, then this will neutralize the virus? Answer, no, I don't suggest you do it now because you cannot get rid of your selfish intentions. You would apply, as it seems to you, a different, supposedly unselfish attitude toward others, but you cannot get out of egoism in any way, it is your nature. There is a method of getting out of egoism, rising above it. A special science deals with it, the science of Kabbalah. But this is not given to an ordinary person, this must be learned. If you are thinking about how to get out of yourself, rise above yourself, and begin to feel a different nature, meaning the upper world, then you need to seriously begin to engage in Kabbalah. Visit our website and take an interest in how it is done. As soon as we really begin to get closer, not physically, not by selfish attraction for the benefit of our beloved self, but for the benefit of others, outside our own interests and, perhaps, even to our own detriment, then all negative phenomena in our world will immediately disappear because they are the product of our egoistic relationships. From Cab TV's Coronavirus Changes Reality, March 19, 2019. Two meters of neutral zone. The whole reality of this world needs to be incorporated in our relations with the upper force of nature. But in today's reality there are many voids. After all, what is coronavirus? The virus shows that instead of the connection between us, there are empty areas that need to be filled with the right relationships. And revealing these gaps between us allows us to see that it is impossible to relate through them, because through this corrupted connection we transmit the virus to one another. The virus revealed huge gaps between us that need to be filled with friendly relations. And if we cannot build such bridges of connection, it is better not to go there at all and sit at home. The distance between people is desire, and the virus reveals new desires, new qualities, new relationships that need to be established between us. If through this 2 meter distance from each other we connect in a new way by becoming as one person with one heart, then the Creator will be revealed between us. The virus shows empty spaces that need to be filled with a good attitude. And then we will achieve a new connection, more similar to the system of Adam HaRishon. All parts of this common system will begin to work together, in unison, in mutual understanding. Instead of imposing on the other what is good for me, I will give him what is good for him. And then the distance between us will begin disappearing and the world will start connecting precisely through these gaps between us. All parts of reality will unite and form a new, corrected system of Adam HaRishon, within which the Creator will appear, and organize and fulfill our connections. This is not a distance of 2 meters, but desires filled with a revelation of the upper force. It will take time to understand this and begin to implement it, but it will happen, and the whole world will talk about it. We just have not yet begun to close these gaps between us with right, good, kind-hearted relationships. But as soon as this happens, the world will immediately see that this is the solution and cure for the coronavirus, that this is a new reality, and that the world should be exactly like this. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 7, 2020. New home where there is room for everyone. Currently, nature is performing a great change in us, which covers the whole world. We can understand it more or less, but there is no doubt that we are facing the program of the Creator, the program of global nature, which, as we see for the first time in history, affects all of humanity without exception. Through this action, which is called coronavirus, nature wants to arrange the entire population of the Earth, all of humanity, in one group. The virus is preparing us for changes leading to connection so that everyone from the smallest to the greatest will know the upper force of nature and all nations will gather in one common house of prayer, that is, everyone will connect in one common desire, mutual connection, which is called the house of the Creator. The wisdom of Kabbalah helps us understand how we go through this process and how we need to adapt ourselves to a new life, a new approach. So far, we still perceive life egotistically, each one individually. However, the new approach requires us to gradually move to a common perception, integral and mutual, in order not to feel the difference between myself and the others. Today we all feel the egoistic world we live in, the egoistic attitude to life. In the new world, everyone will feel the others from within, and then our perception of the world will change dramatically. Instead of the corporeal world, we will feel a spiritual, eternal, and perfect world full of light. We are at the very threshold of a new world, the entrance to a new state, a new reality which must be revealed within the connection between us, mutual, unlimited, and egoism-free relationships. The upper governance wants us to open this door, enter a new world, and lead all of humanity to a new existence, to the purpose of creation, to the goal of our life, to the upper force of nature. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, April 4, 2020. Coronavirus drives us off the treadmill. Is there a connection between corporeal events happening in the world due to the coronavirus pandemic and our internal changes? We all start off in this world in the animate state. At first there is nothing spiritual in us. But suddenly this virus comes and helps us. I am not talking about the suffering that accompanies this process, but only about the spiritual consequences. In this life it is impossible to gain without paying. Let us now look only at the spiritual gain. With the help of the virus, we distanced ourselves from our previous life, which was a race for all the possible pleasures artificially invented by us. We set these made-up goals for ourselves in this world and kept competing for who would reach them first. This allowed us to be proud and fill our egoism more and more, and to buy things we do not need, only to brag about it to others. Such was our life, but the virus came and in a matter of a few weeks cleared the entire globe of consumerism, of all the garbage. It ordered us to go home and think about how we live our lives. Do we want to continue this way and return to the competition and useless race? Do we want to continue to fill our days, from birth to death, with different games just to avoid thinking about the meaning of life? Or are we now thinking about the meaning of our lives? What is worth living for? First and foremost, coronavirus educates us, makes us into new people. We did not think about it before. We just looked at others and did everything in order not to be worse than our neighbors. And we spent our whole lives in pursuit of this. Egoism constantly sought to make me prosperous and successful so that I would not be embarrassed when comparing myself to others. But the virus is destroying the entire basis of egoism. We are no longer concerned with it today. Look at the help we received, a spiritual blow. Now the question is, how are we going to use this lesson? The virus stops us and drives us off the treadmill. Before the pandemic, we had already begun to fear that the world was heading into an abyss. We lived in anticipation of an imminent crisis, environmental disaster, or Third World War, which would kill us all. But now we see that we can come to a completely different way of life. Life can be filled with other things, as it is written, "You will see your world in this life." If we begin to move away from egoism toward bestowal, then we gradually move our desires to the other side of reality. We cross the horizon, go beyond egoism, beyond the border of this world. Thus, we advance toward eternal peace. We do not need to die, We will put our egoistic desire to death, and we will not need to experience physical death. We will change the body as if changing an old shirt. Throw an old shirt in the wash, put on a new one and begin to live anew. So the reincarnations cycle one after another. Desires are renewed in me, and each time I renew my life. There is nothing to be afraid of. We now understand the essence of this world and of the upper world. In fact, they differ only in desire. If I change my desire from receiving to bestowal, then I am already moving from world to world, crossing the border between this material life and the spiritual, which is called material death. We kill our desire to enjoy and become free. I am freed from my egoistic desire and now exist in bestowal. 2 months ago, it was impossible to talk about such things. Everyone thought about 1,000 life problems, about their business. And now the virus has sent everyone on vacation to think about spiritual life. It raises us to another level and makes us think about eternity, about the meaning of life. Coronavirus is a spiritual force that enters us and elevates us from the degree of material death to the degree of spiritual eternity. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson April 2nd, 2020, selected highlights. The old world is dead, long live the new world. The coronavirus is a force that awakens humanity to perform a full audit. Our entire egoistic development, the whole evolution of man from the time when he left the cave, climbed down from the trees, and became different from a monkey happened only inside egoism. And now, for the first time in history, we are changing the course of our evolution. The egoistic method has exhausted itself, it brought us to Egypt and made us complete slaves of the desire to enjoy. And now, humanity must shift its intention toward bestowal, that is, it must leave Egypt for the land of Israel. We are now at a turning point before complete transformation. This is a historical moment, for the first time there is a spiritual revolution in humanity. We need to work in order to attract the light that returns to the source, the reforming light, that will change the face of humanity. We must be that group, that instrument that pulls on this thread, thanks to which all of humanity will begin to advance. There may not be so many of us aspiring to the Creator. But the main thing is to establish the foundation of connection, as it is said, open for me an opening like the tip of a needle, and I will open for you the upper gates. Nothing more is required. From the side of humanity, it is necessary to open for the Creator in the entire space between us only a tiny hole, like a prick with the end of a needle, and through it all kinds of connections will begin to open and develop, and we will enter the spiritual system of bestowal. We will not return to the past. The old world is dead, it does not exist. We will come to a new world, and we will be new people. Of course, this will happen not at once but in stages. As it is described in the story of the Exodus from Egypt, many times Moses went to Pharaoh and returned. This is not an easy process, but it has already begun. And it will not stop until the coronavirus turns into a real crown, Keter, and brings us to connection with the Creator in multiple forms on all levels. He will definitely do it. Therefore, we need to appreciate the time we are in. Humanity is unable to perceive this because it does not consider this process in the scale of the whole of history, from the creation of the world to the end of its development. But we see that everything unfolds as described in the Kabbalistic books. 100 years ago, Baal HaSulam wrote that we were entering the days of the Messiah, that is, the time when a huge pulling spiritual force begins to act on and advance us. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 3, 2020. Jump into the group like into the final sea. How can you continue to study if the feeling of fulfillment is lost? Continue without feeling. This is what the Creator shows me. Can you do something without feeling or not? Ah, so you can't work without compensation. that is, you work for Pharaoh and not for me? Then do not turn to me, go to Pharaoh. We must try to get out of the kingdom of Pharaoh with the help of a group. Go inside the unity of friends so that they will drag you forward. Philosophize less and join the group, trustingly, like a child nullifying himself before adults. And then you will be able to grow correctly. The exodus from Egypt is not an escape from one place to another, but an escape from selfish desire. Each of us comes out of our egoism and is included in the desire of the group. When I join the group, it means that I have left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, Yamsuf, final sea. Therefore, if you have studied for 20 years and now you can no longer continue, then you are directly in front of the final sea and you have no choice but to jump inside the group. It necessarily exists, even if no one feels it. And when you jump into this unity and clutch for your friends, it will be considered that you crossed the final sea. It is very important to move from your individual desire to the general desire of the group. I do not see its true condition, the spiritual picture. Jumping inside, you will find that you have something to hold on to. But you are obliged to jump into this sea, and the moment you jump, you will find what to grab onto, like a baby clinging to his mother. This is called the exodus from Egypt, from our egoism, into the Sinai Desert. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, April 8, 2020, Writings of Balha Sulam, Introduction to the Book of Zohar. The Passover Holiday from Different Points of View. Question: what is the difference between the Kabbalistic explanation of our world and the Passover holiday from the ordinary opinions? Answer: there are several levels of explanation of existence, its creation, development, goal, and the human's task in it. For example, we can say the Passover holiday is 1. The historical period of slavery of the people in Egypt, 2. About the slavery of man in his egoism, Egypt, Pharaoh, 3. About the development of creation, desire, under the influence of the Creator, light, and its absence, under the influence of darkness, Egypt, Pharaoh. At different levels you can also say it is about, 1. The mechanical performance of rituals, which are commonly called commandments, 2. The psychological fulfillment of the instruction love your neighbor as yourself, as a general klal instruction of the Creator, which includes all other instructions, as stated in the Torah, love your neighbor is the general law of the Torah, 3. The Kabbalistic effect of the upper light on the worlds and through them on the souls that go through the stages of their spiritual development, correction. Passover means the end of Pharaoh's power. Passover marks the exodus from our egoism, the rule of the earthly, material nature, our Pharaoh. Pharaoh owns the whole person 100%, except for one thought, the only point in the heart that connects us with the Creator. We need to turn to the Creator through this point and ask Him to pull us beyond this end of the rope from the power of the Pharaoh. The coronavirus pandemic, the home quarantine, the extreme conditions experienced by an individual today, this is precisely the period before the exodus from Egypt, and we are preparing to leave Egyptian slavery, to get out of the power of the desire to enjoy, which separates us, to unification. When we begin to feel our unity, it means that we left Egypt and came to the land of Israel, to a desire directed straight to the Creator, Israel, Yasharkel. Egypt is our current state where everyone is inside their egoism. But there is the land of Israel, a desire directed straight to the Creator. The transition from Egypt to the land of Israel, from one desire to another, is called the exodus from Egypt and consists of several actions. Let's hope that we will make this transition soon and that our desire will be directed to the Creator inside the vessel, which is called the soul, so we will be worthy to see, feel, and live in another stage of life, on the highest land. Each of us wants to get out of Egypt, out of our egoism, to leave the old approach to life, which forces us to think and care only about ourselves. After all, this is my nature, I was born with it and live with it. But the point in the heart that awakens in me calls me to abandon selfishness. First, I want to leave one world and enter another simply because I can make things better for myself. But then I begin to understand that the transition from one world to another, from Egypt to the land of Israel, is an ascent from one level to another. Egypt means caring for oneself and Israel means caring for the Creator, giving Him pleasure. And in order for me to really go to the Creator and not turn everything back to my side, the Creator gives me a sign. If I think about others, then I am directed toward the Creator. The Creator deliberately broke the desire He created into many parts to show us how each of us thinks only of ourselves. But if I want to aspire to the Creator, I must think about others, and through the thought of them I will come to the thought of the Creator. Then we will become like the Creator, similar to Him. The Creator thinks of me 100%, and I, too, in some percentage of my desires, think of Him. To this extent, I reveal the Creator and feel Him, draw closer to Him, and unite, and a connection arises between us. To the extent of my connection with humanity, with society, I direct myself to the Creator and feel Him. This is the whole process of exiting Egypt. On this path we go through many changes, checkpoints, which the Torah talks about. The methodology of the science of Kabbalah consists of guiding a person through all these stages from his primordial, basic egoism to the likeness of the Creator 100%, which is called the end of correction. We are already moving along this path. Indeed, in the beginning we did not understand at all that we were in the grip of egoism, our desire to enjoy. But gradually we moved forward and today we already feel that the group is a means of achieving the Creator, and egoism, which is called Pharaoh, dominates us. We must escape from it, which is called the Exodus from Egypt, to turn our egoism into bestowal with the help of the light that reforms, the Torah. When desire turns from receiving to bestowal, it means my transitioning from Egypt to the land of Israel. And along the way there are many changes, intermediate stations. From the first part of the daily Kabbalah lesson March 31, 2020, Pesach, Passover. All come out of Egypt. This year, due to the coronavirus pandemic, we will not be able to hold the Passover Seder with 1,000 guests like we have in previous years. I hope this is very similar to the state of the people of Israel when they left Egypt, which was also in darkness and while disconnected from each other. They understood that they needed to connect, but they still did not find the strength in themselves for this. And we are in the same state, and I really hope that because everyone is sitting in their corner, each will feel that an upper force has divided us and crushed us. We are far apart and do not feel each other. The virus acts to explain to us who we really are so that we can rise above this virus with the help of the upper force. The Creator will unite and correct us, and we will break ahead to the free land, free from our egoistic desire. There we will unite all together with the Creator in one merger. Israel, the Torah and the Creator are one. Let's hope this happens. The external world and internal properties are becoming closer to each other. Men, women, children, all come out of Egypt. I really hope that we will do it tonight. Prepare yourself internally for the Exodus. And it doesn't matter what we have on the table, the main thing is in our hearts, how much we want to get out of our egoism, rise above it, and join what we pulled out of Egypt so we will collect our bright soul. I wish you a happy Passover, that is, a great way out of selfishness together. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson April 8, 2020, Writings of Balha Sulam, Introduction to the Book of Zohar. Why doesn't Kabbalah study brain functions? Question: There are neurosciences that study the way we think. They say that the person builds a certain model of reality, that is, what is obvious to him. If he needs to buy milk, for example, he knows what store to go to and goes there automatically. Why is this level of thinking not explained in Kabbalah, that is, what happens in the brain? Baal HaSulam says that there are five senses, data input which is somehow processed and creates our internal perspective. This program exists above the desire. Why is it not explained? Answer: this program exists below the desire and belongs to the subconscious. Kabbalah does not engage in the functioning of the brain as a calculator, nor in muscle memory, nor in any memory mechanisms. It only deals with the soul. Our desire is called a soul. It is not in our corporeal body and it is not in our head. The Creator created the desire. It can be egoistic, that is, directed only at loving one's self, or it can change within us, with the help of the Creator, into an altruistic desire, that is, in bestowal and love of others. There is no other way. In parallel to shifting the vector of the desire, from for my own sake to for the sake of others, we begin to feel the upper world, and only then do we understand how everything works, where the operating signals come from, and so on. Everything else related to matter, the brain, etc., is not studied in Kabbalah because it does not interest us. We are only interested in the pure desire that is not part of any form of matter. This is how we explore it and master it. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 26, 2020. Time of Deep Correction. Question: where does the power of the reforming light come from during the workshops? Why didn't the Kabbalists of the past use workshops? Answer: Kabbalists of the past used a different method. They did have tens, but they did not work on the connection between them, on delving actively deeper into themselves. The groups of the Ari, Ramchal, and others consisted, as a rule, of 5 to 6 people, and they sat and studied quietly. Our times are very different. This is evident not only at the level of Kabbalists, but in the entire world as well. We are forced to draw closer across continents, to organize conventions and gatherings that we could not even have thought of in the past. Question: you say that times are different now. What does that matter in relation to an eternal methodology? Answer: no. The method changes. The Kli is gradually changing, this enormous sphere called the soul of Adam, which we must correct, and which we correct by constantly exploring its inner and more egoistic layers. We see it in our world as well. Egoism manifests in it more aggressively, more and more openly and boldly. Question: accordingly, does the principle of attracting the reforming light change? Answer: we attract a strong light that illuminates the deeper layers of egoism. We try to correct it, to connect above it, to somehow organize it, and accordingly, we increase the illumination of the light even more. It happens in a circle. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. Is it possible to understand Kabbalah through knowledge? Question: if I am not interested in listening to what other participants in the lesson are saying because sometimes they bring outright nonsense, what is the benefit of such lessons for me? I came to listen to the higher one, the Kabbalist, and I am forced to listen to people like me and even worse than me. Answer: if we are speaking from the point of view of the science Kabbalah, you need to listen to me at least, then open the books written by great Kabbalists and simply study them from beginning to end. If you have a good mechanical memory, then you will remember their content. But you will not become a Kabbalist just from this because you will not have your place, what is called a Kli, a vessel, in which you can feel the upper world. The upper world becomes known precisely in the connection between simple, even novice Kabbalists, who are trying to be in touch with each other. It is not even so much that they try to be in touch as they try to be in connection. Trying and striving are of utmost importance. So, it is not about knowledge. Kabbalah does not penetrate a person through knowledge. It touches a person through his feelings and aspirations. Kabbalistic parameters are felt between people. When I strive toward you, and you strive toward me, and we try to create a certain field of mutual attraction between us, then we begin to reveal the Creator between us in the form of the light called an Arun High. Therefore, if you are interested in understanding the upper world, then you need to gather with Kabbalists. And if you are only interested in how forces and their actions are called in Kabbalah, then you need to read books. There is nothing more to be said. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. New Life 1211. Coronavirus, a global emergency.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the global state of crisis that the world's in. We'd like to better understand what is actually going on. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, we're in a very special period in time. Probably much will be written about this in history books. Maybe history is already coming to an end. Could be. We see that the entire world is in a general state of emergency, global state of emergency. One little, small virus that you can't even see revolutionized the world, really causing us to do things that we never did before, bringing us to a standstill. Yeah? Now we see that beyond the danger of the disease itself, we see that the greater danger is the breaking down of all the big, powerful systems that we as a mankind have built. We see that it affects everyone, starting with simple people and up to giant corporations, all the systems that we've built, that we thought that they're so great and strong. We see that one little virus can really break all these things. And we'd like to ask about the implications of closing borders, extended quarantines, suddenly every country's closing its borders, you can't come in, you can't go out. The world is in a completely new state. And we'd like to ask, what exactly is happening right now in the world in light of the outbreak of the coronavirus? What is actually going on? Comes this small virus, as you put it, this little particle, and distorts all of the so-called pretty connections that we have built between us, by which we lived off each other, used each other, struggled with one another, and so on. And probably this state isn't good, because nature is always drawn to the right, correct kind of balance, where it can deal as much as it can with our evil nature of wanting to use each other. And what happens is that we're actually the ones that are creating, making the coronavirus. What happens is that our relations have reached such an egoistic level that such a virus erupts, meaning a biological particle that can distort all of our egoistic, all of the egoistic relationships, ties that we have built, and as if resists them. Now, when you say that we create it or make it, it's not that we make it in a laboratory or something. No. I'm not dealing with all of these manipulations or things like that. So when you say that we make it, what do you mean? I mean that due to the bad relations between us, where everyone wants to use the others, con the others, even destroy the others, and we see how much these struggles in the modern world are endless. Every country, besides having an army, it also has a few, let's call them gangs, and this is how it is in every country, through which they act in an illegal way. And we're all the time thinking about how to harm others. Not how to get along so that everyone will be well off. You'll be well off and so will I. Let's have mutual tourism, trade, and so on. But no, instead of that, how to harm each other. So here, we're really already exaggerating in our egoistic attitude toward each other. And therefore, as a result, comes this virus. And this is actually the reason for which it appears, because we have reached a certain egoistic level that the integral mechanism of nature cannot agree to, and therefore it creates these kinds of phenomena. So this biological phenomenon that apparently was sent by nature, you're saying that behind this, there are our relations on the human level, not even on the human level yet. Right, because were they on the human level, they would have probably been more positive. So the lack of connection between people generates biological phenomena, yeah, on a lower level. The relations on the human level are the highest level. Beneath that are the relations between biological particles. Beneath that, their relations between the, let's call it, the physical forces of nature, and so on. And therefore, we see the results that we see. It is all according to the levels that we've learned about, even in school. Okay, so people might come and say, look, plagues isn't something new. In the past, there were plagues that destroyed entire areas in the world. What's special or unique about this plague? I don't think that it's a real plague. I don't think that we have to be afraid of losing plenty of people as a result or something. It's really a very small percentage. Every year, more people die as a result of seasonal diseases and so on. And especially that our life expectancy has grown up to 90 years and more, so this isn't the problem. The problem is that with our entire ability to arrange a good and nice life for all of us, we can't get along with each other. We simply can't. You can go to different places in the world, villages, small cities, different corners of the world. You can see that people have what to live off. They have the ability to live a good life, but there is a lack of good relations between people, and therefore they can't live off each other, provide for each other correctly, build a good and correct society, raise children in a good way. The problem is our ego. In order to show us that only our relations, only our nature needs to be dealt with and cured, therefore we discover such phenomena like the coronavirus. So you're saying that the real crisis isn't that people get sick and die and things like that, but that there's something else that generates this crisis, and maybe it's even going on, let's call it, beneath the surface. And this is what generates this crisis. Okay, so We live in a global world. We know that when there is abundance and everything works properly, then many people really enjoy living in a global world. And suddenly what we see is that living in a global world makes us really vulnerable. Maybe globalization is dangerous. It's true, but we have no choice. Actually, our development shows us how close, interconnected, and interdependent we really are. So, part of the measures that are being taken is let's isolate ourselves. This will only help us understand that it's something that we can't do, that this really leads us to a miserable life, and that we're going back to the Middle Ages. You talked about the different degrees, levels of relations in nature, the highest degree being the relations between people, and under them or beneath them, there are the biological relations between biological particles, and beneath that are the physical laws of nature, the relations between the different laws of physics. From what I understand, you're saying that the coronavirus is a result of the lack of the right, correct connection between us. Between us who? Human beings. Because between the different physical particles, the, let's call them still particles, there is the correct connection. There is the correct, right kind of connection, relationships on the vegetative level. The right and correct relationships on the animate level. And each of these levels uses the other levels in the way that it needs to, according to the absolute laws of nature that force it to do it this way. Suppose a wolf that catches a sheep and eats it, then he doesn't do it because he wants to harm the sheep, but this is what nature orders him to do in order to survive. And therefore, after he has eaten and he's satiated, he won't touch another sheep. He doesn't touch them. It doesn't look to him like a piece of meat on a barbecue inviting him to have more, but give it to a person. Then that person will kill all of them and will put it all in the supermarket in order to sell it to everyone and make money off it, and then have a good time. He'll find something to do. Meaning, our ego, our desire to receive pleasure, is unlimited. It's not only limited to food, sex, and family. It's beyond that. It wants to use others to its own benefit. So what I understand from what you're saying is that man should have not evolved beyond being a gatherer and a hunter. If he's hungry, he wants dinner, he catches an animal, throws it on the Barbie, and goes to sleep, gets up in the morning, does the same. Not only hunting, he can also grow vegetables, and people always raise chickens. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that we, as human beings, are built in such a way that our ego is unlimited. And I'm not receiving what I can receive from this world, like food, sex, and family, but I use my desires in order to conquer the world, in order to control everyone, by money, power, have others respect me, and this is what destroys our life. This is what turns us against each other. Where does the natural desire to rule, to be in control end and starts mutating? Because in every group of animals, you have the alpha male that will rule. This is when I come out of the boundaries of the family. What do you mean? Food, sex, family. Which is, these are my desires that I have to calm down, fulfill. That this is how I am by nature. This is dictated by nature. Food, sex, family. A person's basic needs. Yeah, okay, and beyond that, you have wealth or money, respect and knowledge, which is a social need, egoistic need. That in order to fulfill these needs, I have to be above others, greater than others. So, I turn to different kinds of business so that others can use me and I can get more out of that. By that, I become greater than everyone. There's already competition then. If we're talking about food, sex, family, there's no competition there. I fulfill my needs like all other living creatures. The speaking level is the degree that really wants money, honor, and knowledge. So the problem that we're dealing with is that egoistic need that can't be satiated. It can't. It wants more and more all the time, whether it's natural or human resources, but to use everything that it can to its own benefit. But nature, which is a global integral mechanism that exists in and of itself, disagrees to it. It disagrees. Just like a tree doesn't agree that I'll break it now. Meaning it resists. Yeah? So, against this human behavior, it creates different, let's call them antibodies, not allowing us to break into its systems by which we can destroy it. So it actually tries to stop that egoistic need that can't be satiated. Now, we explain it differently. We say that nature is an integral law that ties all the parts together, not allowing any part to dominate the others, but to only be mutually connected with the rest of the parts. And therefore, what follows is, that once we really become egoistic, where we really start using each other, then we also start feeling resistance that either comes from other people or from parts of nature or from society. In short, from all directions. And so we have to understand that we can advance only on condition that we keep the law of integrality, that all of us are interconnected in this kind of bubble where everyone's interconnected. That all in all, the universe and earth with everything on it, the still vegetative, animate, and people, that all of us are in a single mechanism and that we're all interdependent. And there's just one law that applies here to supplement, complete one another. And man's ego is the only component that hates everyone, that wants to use everyone, that everyone wants only to their own benefit. And it's not enough that we just want to use nature, but that human beings are also opposed to one another. Globalization. What or who led it? Man or nature? Our ego. Our ego led us to create a global world. Why? What for? In order to live off each other more and more. Now, you also mentioned that nature, too, is an integral system, a global integral system. So what's the difference between the global system that man created and the global integral system that nature sustains? Man doesn't want to keep the global integral system of nature. People don't want to be connected with one another in a good and nice way, by which man completes, supplements all the rest of the parts of nature. But to the contrary, wherever man enters nature, there he really wants to control nature in a one-sided way, only to his benefit. I don't care about destroying entire species in nature. The main thing is that for the time being, I'll be well off. And about the next generations, or even about now, I don't care. I want to ask about the interactions between people. I want to ask about that component that you say is egoistic and harmful. One kind of interaction between people is that people live off each other more and more, and this created a global world where everyone actually lives off each other. Besides that, you also talked about using each other, not by way of completing and supplementing each other, but that someone wants to live off others, to suck everything from them. And this is a negative kind of interaction, because there is no mutuality there. Because in living off each other, then I can grow tomatoes, for example, and you grow something else. I can't grow everything. I can grow potatoes, chickens. You're my neighbor. You know how to make, I don't know, you have a bakery. So I'll make this, you make that, and we complete each other. This is positive and good for everyone. I suppose that this is a positive kind of development. Where does the development become negative, where you say that people try to exploit and use and get rich off each other? When I want to become a monopolist, or I want to control others. Suppose I have a bakery. You saw how well I'm doing. So you open a bakery, and so does he, and so does she. And then we start struggling with each other. And in order to make better things, you start putting chemicals into what you bake, and you use the soil in a way that you destroy it. Who knows what will happen later, but I don't care. And what motivates this process? To be successful in the eyes of others, both in terms of money, respect, control. I see that you pointed out control several times. So man's desire to be in control and to be greater than others, this is what destroys things. Even if it harms him in other ways. Like, suppose like America and Russia, look at how much they pay for weapons, for the arms race. And people on both sides are far worse off than they could be. But they can't stop themselves. Now, another example you gave was, you said that a tree doesn't want for me to break it. I want to break it, it resists. You said that this is an example that nature, in which there is one integral law that applies to everything, not allowing any part to dominate the other parts, also doesn't agree to man's exploitative behavior. Yeah. So if I try to do something to a tree, break it or whatever, it feels it and resists. The question is, how does nature feel the exploitative behavior of one person against another, or country against country? How does the system of nature feel the relationship between people, their attitude toward each other? What do you mean by nature? This I don't understand. Don't people feel how I treat them? People feel that for sure. And what, the still, the vegetative, and the animate, don't they have a protective force? A force that demands them to exist, keep themselves, It exists even in a tiny atom. Try to break it. This I understand. What I don't understand is the connection between the levels. How is it that people became more and more egoistic, exploiting each other more and more? How does that bring about, generate viruses that are on the biological level? Seemingly, these things are unrelated. These are separate levels. No. All levels are connected. The still, vegetative, animal, the speaking, all these levels, they're a part of nature, of a single system. You're as if in conflict with another person on the level that you understand, where you're harming each other. And suddenly you get a response in the form of an earthquake. This is what I'm asking about. It's not from the same level. I understand if a nation that I wanted to exploit fights back. This is clear. How is nature related to this? How are viruses related to this? Who told the viruses that I want to use Nitsa or that one country wanted to use another country and so on? Mister, everything in nature started from one particle that started connecting with another particle and another one, and this created atoms and later molecules where there's already life, the transmission of energy and information between them until a more complex form of life was created. And it was all built in such a way that even the tiniest parts of the universe are tied to the entire universe, to each and every part of the universe, in the universe. And this is on the degrees of the still, vegetative, animate, the speaking. And this is all on the speaking level, on the level of thoughts, meaning that the relation is the strongest connection that determines and controls and encompasses everything. You can't imagine how unlimited the speed of our thought is. It's not limited by the speed of light, it's unlimited. And therefore, as it says, everything is scrutinized in thought. It's like a child that says, I didn't do anything. It fell and broke by itself. What you don't understand is that all the parts of nature are connected in a single system. And I understand that you don't understand this, and it's hard to see. It's even impossible to see the connections between the different levels, degrees, but this is how it is. We can see it in plants, in animate bodies. There it's pretty clear. Suppose I aggravate you, and then I'll take your temperature. It'll rise a bit, right? Yeah. Why? I don't know. Once I get aggravated, immediately I feel my ulcer, but that's clear. Dr. Lightman, unfortunately our time's up, but I have one last question. What is the most important thing that we have to learn from this global state that we found ourselves in? That the relations between people is the network that ties us together. That it's the most important and uppermost network that determines everything. And if we bring it to balance, we'll achieve balance on all other levels, and our life will be heaven. Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.